Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I hope your fast so far is going all right. It's only, another... This is Chicago. It's very long. 8:52, they said. So, it's a special morning. Obviously, we're observing the fast of Shavuos Batamos, even though it's actually not Shavuos Batamos. Yesterday was Shavuos Batamos. But it's the beginning of the 3 weeks, which means it's an opportunity for introspection. So, two things. The first is that we are very excited to be bringing back, once again, the Kollel's 3 weeks video series, Inspiration in Your Inbox. So if you sign up, you'll get one today from Israel, from Zev Schwartz, who is the director of Torah Mitzion. And if you just click on the bottom and you put in your email, so you can get a little video every day. It's about 2 minutes from a bunch of different Torah personalities from Chicago, from outside Chicago, Rosh Yeshiva from YU, to try to just give us a quick snapshot of something to think about during the 3 weeks. So that's the first thing, the first item on the schedule. And then, Emir Tzashem, next week, next Sunday and Monday, right here in this room, we have a terrific schedule for women, which is the Arche Kala, the annual women's conference, which is taking place Sunday and Monday. We have an amazing schedule we sent out this week of over 15 women speakers, in addition to a couple of other rabbinic figures. And most importantly, I want to begin by thanking the two gentlemen who have joined me this morning, who have taken from their time and are sharing the morning with us with our Kollel. And we work together. We have both collegial, professional, and also personal connections. But the topic this morning is something that's really important. It's very significant for today, for this period of time. We thank you all for coming to focus on the topic of Ahavas Yisrael, of loving other Jews, which maybe some days is easier than others. But the idea that we need to focus and to work on the concept of Ahavas Yisrael is something that maybe gets overlooked at times. You know, it's either something maybe we feel like you have or you don't have, but like everything else, like even emunah and everything else that we want to accomplish in life, it needs to be cultivated. So we came up with the idea of creating an armchair conversation, which I noticed that none of these chairs have arms.
I'll be your arm. I'll be your arm. Go ahead.
So I'll introduce briefly the two great, terrific, I would say, experts in Ahavas Yisrael, which is why the Kollel reached out to them, respectively. And then we'll kind of share some ideas that are pertinent to this time. And hopefully, in this way, we can begin the period of the 3 weeks, the tikkun that needs to be done for the lacuna, which still exists, the presence of sinas chinam that you might say, because the Gemara tells us that any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt, so then obviously there's something lacking, so to speak. It's as if it had been destroyed in that generation. So as far as I know, I didn't check the news lately, but it hasn't appeared. And so we need to think for ourselves, how can we cultivate Ahavas Yisrael? So I'll introduce them briefly, and then they'll share a little bit about themselves. Rabbi David Biegun is the founding director of the L'Chaim Center, which is in Deerfield. Deerfield is north of here. It's on Lake Hook Road, I found out. So he is involved in educating and connecting with countless families on the North Shore. And he's actually from Deerfield, from the North Shore. And Rabbi Josh Martyr is the founding director of YJP, which is Young Jewish Professionals, and it's an aspect of the CTN, the Chicago Torah Network, and he works downtown primarily with young professionals, singles, young couples, and both of them are engaged in the Melechus HaKodesh, in the amazing work of exposing people who maybe weren't yet inspired by and connected to Judaism to Judaism that could be amazing and relevant. So without any further ado, maybe I'll hand it off to the two of you and then I'll add a few comments. Maybe you want to pick it up. You can tell anything a little more about yourself or something about Ahavas Yisrael or anything else you want to talk about.
Okay. First of all, thank you, Rabbi Brand, for inviting us to this very, very special gathering. And it's nice to see a lot of new faces, people that I haven't met before, and a few old faces.
Louder, sure.
That's okay, I can speak louder.
You sure?
Yeah. Rabbi, I just want to say about Rabbi Brand.
Do me a favor. Don't start with that.
I'm going to. It's okay. Please sit down, Rabbi. So, Rabbi Brand is, he is somebody who has a vision of collaboration. And collaboration is a very integral part of Ahavas Yisrael on a professional level, one of the things that I personally feel needs to happen a lot more often than currently is happening is collaboration between organizations. Sometimes organizations have a tendency to focus very insularly on what they are trying to accomplish without realizing that all of us, as all of our organizations, are very limited, limited in resources, limited in manpower. And when we join together and we work together to collaborate on things, there's so much more power, so much more koach to what we can do. So I'm very fortunate that that I was introduced, Jeff Bressman introduced us, and we have an opportunity to work together. I look forward to many, many opportunities to work together with you. Basically, anything that you want to work on with us, we're in.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's first of all. There was a great, great Rebbe who lived in a couple generations ago, a couple hundred, maybe 100 years ago. His name was, they called him the Abder Rav. And he wrote a classic sefer called the Ohev Yisrael, which means the lover of Jews. The reason why they called it that, they named that work, Ohev Yisrael, is because it was known that this was his thing. This was his mitzvah. He loved Jews. And it was said in his name that he once apparently stated that there's a hint to the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael in every single parsha. There's not a parsha in the Torah where you can't find at least a hint to the mitzvah of loving another Jew. So this, his chassidim asked him, where in Parshas Balak do you find a reference to Ahavas Yisrael? He said, that's easy. Balak is an acronym. It's a Rosh Tevos for V'yahavta L'recha Kamocha. So his chassidim looked at him and said, Rebbe, V'yahavta L'recha Kamocha is a Vav, and starts with a Vav, not a Beis, like Balak, and ends with a Chaf, not a Kuf, like Balak. So he looked at him and said, if you're that concerned about the letter of the law, then you're never going to succeed in the mitzvah of the house. a very deep point I think he was making, which is that, you know, we all feel very passionate about our religious views and about the way that we see the world, and that's a good thing. We should be passionate. We should be committed to the Mesorah that we have, that we learn from our teachers and our Rebbeim. But at the same time, we always have to realize and recognize that my way is not the only way. And until we can figure that out, and until we can come to that realization that there might just be another way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, there are. There are many, many ways. There are almost an infinite number of ways that a person can connect to Hashem. And the way we have to approach our Yiddishkeit is we're excited, we're passionate about the way we're serving Hashem, but we're also flexible enough and open enough to realize that the way you're serving Hashem is also beautiful. And that applies to anybody. I'm not going to speak for too long because I want to let the rabbi speak, but I just, one of the things that I think hit me this morning is we all have stereotypes. And that is perhaps the biggest thing that gets in the way of us loving other Jews. Those stereotypes, I'm going to be totally honest with you, okay? I'm going to share with you an experience that I had about half an hour ago. Okay, I walked into the shul, and I don't normally daven in a modern Orthodox shul. You know, I daven in Haredi shul, whatever they call it. And I walked into the shul. I don't know if I should be saying this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And we all carry certain stereotypes, you know, of what things are going to be like. And they're not true, they're false, but we have them for whatever reason, either something that we read or an experience that we had. I'm not sure if I should tell this story.
I think you're in too deep. You're in too far.
Okay.
Say it carefully.
I'm just telling you who I am. I mean, this is. I think we all can relate. We can all relate to this, right? So we carry around certain stereotypes. So we walked into the shul, and we're sitting in there. And the first thing that happened is I heard the phone ring, a loud phone ring. And I think, okay, phone's ringing. It's not going to be an incredible davening experience. And it turned out that it was somebody that was clearly not from the community. It was somebody that was visiting from out of town. Okay, but I was very upset with myself because I played right into a stereotype that I had. And that's just not okay. And we all have to work on that. And I realized that in order to succeed in Ahavas Yisrael, we all need to acquire a pair of glasses. A pair of glasses that allows us to look beyond the chitzonius, beyond the exterior, and into the very inside, the heart of who each and every single one of us is. X-ray glasses that can allow us to see the essence of who a Jew is. Because if we focus on the outside, this person looks different than I do. Their avodah look takes a different form than mine. That's all chitzonius. The only way we're going to really ever be able to overcome this terrible burden that we're dealing with, and Rabbi Brand said, this is the biggest issue we face. It's much bigger than any intifada or anything that's going on geopolitically. The biggest thing that the biggest problem the Jews are facing today is we can't get it together and love each other. The way we can do that is if we can learn how to wear our v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha spectacles and be able to see deeper inside of a Jew and look beyond the chitzonius and beyond what seems to meet the eye and know that there's something much greater. There's a neshama inside of every single one of us, and we focus on that neshama, we are naturally going to feel a love and an affinity towards each other and get rid of the stereotypes and take a look at each other for who we really are. And I think that's going to be probably the most essential thing we can keep in mind during these days.
Sure, thanks.
Awesome. Good morning. So my Brand and I, we go way back. We were in Yeshiva University together. And we did some programs together, some outreach programs in Florida, my parents' living room. I sang at his wedding. And one of the big questions we all had in Yeshiva University was, where is Reuven Brand going to end up? Such an amazing talent that was...
It's getting worse and worse.
And he loves this. He loves this.
It's worse and worse.
So I just want you guys to know you're a very lucky community. The Skokie, Chicago community, a large Jewish community, is very lucky. And when Rabbi Brand asked me to come speak here, my first thought was, I can't speak next to you, Rabbi Brand. It's not going to be... But when he took my chavrusa, very vegan from me, so I guess I have to come. So here I am. And so... The topic of Avos Yisrael, it's a tough topic. It's a beautiful topic. And I was trying to think, what could I share that perhaps could add another side to the story? We didn't exchange what we're going to be talking about, so I wanted to think of something that wouldn't be said by the other rabbis. And so I have another hat that I wear. I'm also a family therapist. And most of what I do is with couples. And so I thought I'd share something a little bit from that, and maybe a personal story in my experiences of working with the greater Jewish community. So there's a fascinating story the Talmud tells, is actually also brought down in Avos Rabbi Nosson, of the original first couple's therapist. He goes by the name of Aaron HaKohen. So Aaron HaKohen, the Talmud tells us that he witnessed two people arguing. There's two opinions. One is that it's two friends. The other is it was a wife and a husband. And he saw them arguing. And he saw they were extremely upset with each other. And they stopped talking to each other. And he took it upon himself. And he went to the one, a pastor may be familiar with the story. He went to the one... It's called the husband. He says, you know, your wife is so distraught. She wants so badly to come back and talk to you. She wants to connect with you. She doesn't know how to come and talk to you. She's afraid you're going to be so angry. But she really wants to come back and make up. And he goes back to the wife. And he tells her, you know, your husband, he's so distraught. And he really wants to come back and talk to you and connect and make up. And he's concerned, how are we going to do this? She's so angry at me. And when the two of them finally see each other, they can't help it. They just reach out to each other and they embrace in this reconnecting moment. And it's a beautiful story, but there's one question that really bothers me. And the question is, wasn't he lying? She never told him to go talk to her. To him. He never told him to go talk to her. What gives him the right to go do that? That's very cute. It works out. But what gives him the right to go do that? And I heard a beautiful answer from Rabbi Danny Deutsch, I work with in CTN. He said it was from Rabbi Avram Torsky. He says that Aaron HaKohen is Rodef Shalom. Running after peace, running after connecting, we have to realize something. They want to connect. Deep down, we want to connect. Under it all, as I begin to allude to, under all the externals, whatever it is, I want to connect with you. And you want to connect with me. You know, they've done research studies. These were done for couples' purposes. But they had an interesting study. They took women, and they told them, you're about to experience an electric shock. And they had her testing with different biological testing. And she had a high level of stress. And what they found is that these women, when they were holding the hand of a stranger, their stress levels were lower. And they also found in their marriage, depending on how the marriage was doing, there was a reciprocal level of stress level when the husband was there. But what's fascinating is even a stranger, we want to connect. It helps us. We feel comforted. We feel a closeness. This is some of the work that I do as a therapist, and it's also some of the work that I do in Klal Yisrael, with the community.
You know, one of the important things to keep in mind when you talk about Avos Yisrael is that people come from different backgrounds, different perspectives. You know, Rabbi Begin comes from the North Shore, Rabbi Marta comes from Orlando, I come from like a Satmar Shtiebel, which is somewhat different than Deerfield, as far as I can tell.
We could tell.
Right, exactly. So, the idea of perspective, I think, is so important for Avos Yisrael. And we need to drill down a little bit to try to understand why is it that it's such a challenge. So there is an amazing comment of Rav Hirsch. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, in his commentary on the Chumash, says that etymologically, the word sinna, sin nun aleph, which is referring to hatred, lo sisna es achicha bilvavecha, don't resent other people in your heart. He says, actually, it's etymologically related to the word sne, a thorn bush. He says, because the reason we resent other people is because they're a thorn to us. They're competing with us. There's something that bothers us about them. So the way he develops it is that in general society, people view others as competition for their own success. So we try to put other people down to be able to promote ourselves because, let's say, there's a limited pool of resources. So we want to make sure that nobody else is encroaching and infringing on that space, the struggle for existence, so to speak. But I think it's really, it's mamish very deep when it comes to the Yiddishkeit that we have. You know, the question of who's in the center is always an interesting question. You know, from my vantage point, I see there are people to the left of us in the proverbial community. There are people to the right of us. So you look at different people with different perspectives. And why does it bother you? It's like, you know what? We're competing, so to speak, for the Rabbonu Shalom's attention. You know, that guy or that woman, they come from a certain community, and they're monopolizing God's attention. So I resent that. It's like a sneh. It's like a thorn, he says. It bothers me. So why does it bother me? Because the concept is that there is competition. You know, we're all competing for the Rabbonu Shalom's attention, and you know, you feel like you have a monopoly on the approach to Hashem Yisbarach. Like you said before, there are multiple ways to approach Hashem. I think getting back to that, building our own self-confidence means I don't have to put anybody else down to say that I can have a relationship with the Rabbonu Shalom, and that's okay. And somebody else can also find their place, and it's not a competition. He continues to talk about sinas chinam, and this idea that there is this struggle for existence, even if somebody has no other, there's no reason, so to speak, that I should resent them. But if the idea is that there is a competition, then of course there's going to be resentment. So one of the things that we need to do is we need to get comfortable in our own skin. That doesn't mean to become religiously complacent, but I think it means to recognize that there are different approaches, and the fact that somebody else does something, it shouldn't make me uncomfortable. It shouldn't make me, you know, resent them. It should make me open to realizing, wow, that's something that's interesting. I never considered that. And I see somebody walks into shul, they wear a gartel. Growing up, you couldn't daven for the amud without a gartel and a hat in our shul. So, you know, why do they do that? Maybe there's a good reason for it. Maybe that would be good for me. And if it's not good for me, maybe I should realize and appreciate the fact that they do that and they have a good reason for it. It's their family tradition or some other reason. And it goes to, I think, an important question about our own religious self-esteem. You know, are we comfortable with where we are? Not complacent. We all need to grow, and we need to push ourselves to grow. But instead of shutting out other communities and saying, you know, they're, and fill in the adjective, maybe we need to use that as a mirror to say, what can I learn? Because I'm okay where I am. I'm comfortable with the community that I'm in. I just want to make sure that I'm continuing to grow. So that's one thing that I think about when we talk about Avos Yisrael, is being comfortable with ourselves so that we don't need to feel in competition with somebody else. But also it has to do with how you view other people in terms of the whole picture versus just a piece of it. You know, yesterday we read about Bilam, who's looking at Kitzei Ha'am, the edge, and he looks at it from an angle from which he can only see a portion of the Jewish people. So that's a very easy way to be negative. Right? It's easy to break down Avos Yisrael by looking at one small snapshot. Because nobody is perfect. You know, thank God I have 4 siblings, and I have a brother who's about a year and a half younger than me. So for most of our lives, we fought bitterly on many levels. And then after a couple of decades, we actually figured out how to work things out, and we're actually extremely close. Now, even though we're very close, but I'm sure there are things about me that annoy my brother. There used to be a lot of things. But now, even now that we're very close, I'm sure there are things that are annoying. But the way that he defines me, and the way that he looks at me, is not just looking at those annoying things that maybe I do that bother him. He looks at me in the totality of our relationship, which even though is 800 miles apart, is extremely close. But if you only define somebody with that one small sliver of their life, which is not always positive because nobody's perfect, so then you're going to be able to see a negative light. You're going to be looking at him like Balak. So when we view other Jews and other Jewish communities, so we have the problem of the stereotypes and the problem of finding ways to connect. But sometimes that's because we kind of zoom in on one isolated aspect of them. And that's, you know, we saw somebody cut us off on the supermarket line. Or we heard somebody who gave a Dvar Torah that the interpretation was so offensive I couldn't handle it. So does that become who that person is entirely? And then that becomes who their entire neighborhood and all of their rabbis and everything that their community represents is that one Dvar Torah that I couldn't stand. Or maybe there's a lot more to it. You know, when you get to know people and you look at them with the full context, so then all of a sudden you learn a lot more about them. Because Avos Yisrael is about seeing the fact that we are family, and within family you need to look at, and then you have the benefit of looking at, the full picture. If you are estranged from somebody, so then you can only see what you see. But if you get to know them, it's much more difficult to just harp on the negative. I don't know if you want to take a minute maybe just to talk about some of the aspects of Avos Yisrael and how it plays into how you relate to different components in the community, because you're both in kind of both the worlds, different spaces kind of thing.
Can I do an experiment first?
Oh, please, yeah.
Okay. Experiments are great. Let's try this. I want everybody to point to somewhere on your body that you think of when you think of Avos Yisrael right now. Okay, interesting. Okay. We have. It seems to be a kind of a 50-50 dispute between here and here, as you guys can't see each other. But I agree with the people that pointed up here. Not that the heart obviously is the place of emotion, and ultimately, whether we love somebody or not is going to involve our emotional components. But it's a decision. It's something that we have to decide we are going to do. It's a commitment that we have to make. It begins with an intellectual decision that this person is my brother, like Rabbi Brand is saying. And we are, every single person in this room, we are brothers and sisters. Every single brothers and sisters. We are part of one mishpacha. You know, I think that one of the problems is that people, when we define Judaism as a religion, so then it becomes much more complicated because some people are more religious and some people are less religious, so that means they're more Jewish or less Jewish. And of course, that's insanity and completely not true. I want to argue with my chavrusa because we're supposed to be learning right now, so usually what we're doing at this time is screaming and yelling at each other. So I want to argue with my chavrusa. I think it's very easy, personally, and this is sad, but I think it's easy for a lot of us to sometimes find a way to relate to and connect to the non-observant Jew. I find that for a lot of people that's actually easier. That doesn't seem to me to be the challenge. The challenge is, unfortunately, I believe, it's within the halls of those who pride themselves as being religious and observant in some level for the different communities, like Rabbi Brand is saying, to be able to get along and to respect each other. So I think that that the work that I do in Kiruv is, I don't necessarily see as being my avoda, my personal avoda in the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael. My avoda in the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael is when I'm not doing Kiruv and I'm spending time with people that belong to other religious communities and trying to find ways to connect. And I think I'm very moved by what Rabbi Brand said. I think that self-esteem, I think, is the key. And I didn't think about it in these terms, but as he's saying it, that's so true, because if we're comfortable with who we are, then we don't have to find a way to elevate ourselves or to embellish or to feel better about ourselves by looking at what we have that somebody else doesn't have. So I think that's very essential. I think that we need to really focus on that. And then just to recognize, like, it's so easy to make judgment calls about other people and the way other people are observing, and that is just patently false. There's no truth to that. It's an illusion, and we have to get beyond that, and we have to figure out ways to not fall into that easy trap. So it's an intellectual decision. The Arizal says, he gives a piece of advice: every morning before you begin davening, you should say the words to yourself, "Hareini ani mekabel, I'm accepting upon myself the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha." It's a simple thing. It's like a mantra. But every day before you begin davening, you say, I'm accepting upon myself the mitzvah to love every Jew. Because it begins with an intellectual decision that also adds incredible potency to your tefillah. Because when you're davening as part of Klal Yisrael, Ein Odomi, you cannot begin to compare the effect and the power that your tefillah has than when you're davening as an individual, as a yachid. So it begins with the intellect. We have to make the commitment. We have to make the decision. I'm going to find something to love about every single Jew that I meet. And if we do that, and if we commit ourselves to that, and we work on it, we practice, then we can maybe overcome this terrible challenge that we face as a people.
Awesome.
Any notes?
Sorry for arguing with you.
No, it's okay. I'll argue back. Now, I love what you said, Rabbi Vegan. I also love what you said. I love Rabbi Brand. And when you asked your question, I pointed to my head, but now that you're arguing with me, I have to argue with you back that I would change it. I'll tell you what, but in all fairness, I'm really not arguing with you, so it's not as exciting as I thought. But when the Torah tells us a few different times we have to love, what is love? How do we do this act of love? Right? If I walk up to it, I love you, that I fulfill the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha? Where is the accomplishment of that? And so it's a dual role, because the way the Rambam describes mitzvah of Avos Reim and the way that it comes out L'Halacha is it's an action. So one could feel, oh, so it's really not an emotional experience. Maybe it's just my actions, if I act like I love you, I take care of you, I'm careful with your property, then that's an accomplishment of loving. So, I think the Torah tells us in a very concise way how to love. It tells us in our relationship with God. It tells us there's three aspects to this relationship of love. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, three ways, b'chol levavcha, with all your heart. And that's going to be feeling. But how are you going to get there? This I'm not so arguing. Is that it has to start in your head. Because we have to build a relationship. Building a relationship, it's a misnomer in our generation, is if the relationship just happens. No, it takes effort. It takes mental effort. It takes intellectual effort. Thinking about Hashem. The Rambam talks about how to arrive to that. It's no different arriving to that with a fellow being. Thinking about the greatness of another person. Finding a way to connect with this person. But then I have full emotional connection with love in my heart. B'chol nafshecha, with my body, with my actions, with what I do. Finding a way to give to Hashem with my essence, my physical existence. And the same thing goes with the human being. To give to them. To care about how they're doing. And b'chol me'odecha, a few different pshatim, but one is our midos. In every way that Hashem gave us our personal character traits of who we are and what we have within us, to share that with another person, share that with Hashem, and then also in our love of Avos Reim, of another fellow Jew, how to give them what I can give. Whether that be in my personal profession, whether that be in my awareness of other people's feelings, whether it be in a good morning, hello, how are you? Whatever I can do to reach out, to say, some Jew that I know, that he's going to have a very different Rosh Hashanah experience than I am, but to still say Shana Tova. And I wish you a beautiful year. And whatever the context is, to bring out our personal relationship with this person.
I think it's a beautiful idea. Just one note on each of those.
He's going to argue with both of us.
No. The idea of, everybody is the Tzelem Elokim, and the idea of doing. Now, Rav Dessler, in the Kundras HaChesed, in his masterwork, Kundras HaChesed is in the first Chelek of Michtav Me'eliyahu. So it's a long discussion about kindness. So Rav Dessler points out that the word Ahava, love, has at the root of it the letters He Beis, Hav, which means to give. And he points out, and the research in psychology has borne this out, that the correlation is actually the more you give to someone, the more you love them. You know, we have, thank God, in our community many children. And the more we give to those children, the more we love them, even though the children don't necessarily give us anything back. You know, I have a close friend of mine who has a child who, Nebuch, has needed a lot of medical attention, a lot of care. And the amount of love that the parents have for this child is incredible. Incredible. Even though the child doesn't speak and doesn't give them anything back, it's because all that they have given of their heart and soul, everything, everything they've given this child, so they feel that love. So part of it is the giving, the doing helps us with Avas Yisrael. So let's say we take our kids usually on Purim, so we go do Shalach Manos deliveries for the Ark. So we go, we bedafka take the kids, so they should see what it is that not everybody has Shalach Manos to give, and that there are Jews who live outside of the little Daladamas that we have. So we go to different places, to sometimes not the most beautiful places to live, Nebuch, unfortunately. And you walk up to the door, and you knock on the door, and you deliver the Shalach Manos. And one year it really struck me, we were out in some apartment complex in Niles with this, I think it was like an immigrant family from Eastern Europe, maybe Russia or Ukraine or something like that. And we dropped off the Shalach Manos. And I said to myself afterwards, I'm like, that person's neshama is exactly the same as mine. Like, we think that we're on the in, like we're in the in crowd because we're in the in community, and they're on the out. But the way the Rabbona Shalom looks at it, it's the same. What do you mean? It's just because I live in Skokie, so I feel like, oh yeah, I'm between Dempster and Church. That's like the in crowd in Timber Ridge. Ma petom. What does that make me more on the in crowd than it makes another Jewish person who is in a totally different context. And what you do for those people, it helps you build that Avas Yisrael, because you realize, Taka, they're all the same. And it goes to people in different segments of the community also. You know, sometimes part of the challenge is that we don't get exposed to those people. So it's easy to throw stones if you have a mechitza. So you can throw on the, you never know who's hitting on the, who you're hitting on the other side, because you don't really connect to them. When you get out and you really connect with those people, I think what you said also about the idea of making a decision is so interesting. Making a conscious decision, because that will also shape our perspective. Because it's, maybe it goes back to what I was thinking before, in terms of we view all of our family, all the Jewish people, as our brothers, in the same way that I don't look at my brother just narrowly defined, I look at him more contextually, but it's a decision. Mm-hmm. You know, how we how we go about things. Maybe this is a good marital analogy. Rabbi Martyr mentioned that he was at my wedding, because we did these outreach programs that we basically turned his parents, who now, they live now in South Florida, but at the time they lived in Orlando, and Orlando had like a non-denominational, right, that's what it was, non-denominational Jewish school. So we were doing, we set up this basically YU Chabad Center in his parents' living room. We had a bunch of YU guys, and we had one of the Rosh Yeshiva came down, and we took over this non-denominational school. It was amazing. So for my wedding, Rav Herschel Schechter, Shalita, my Rebbe from YU, he came to me in Masada Kedushin, and the night of our wedding was the blackout. If you remember, that was the night, August 14th, 2003, that the whole Northeast was blacked out because of all of my sister-in-laws were ironing their hair at the same time. And that was all the surge of electricity. That's what did it. So that Shabbos lunch, Rav Schechter was sitting at the Shabbos table, so someone asked him to give it to our Torah, so he said an unbelievable vort. That goes to the decision making. That Haftorah, it was like the Shabbos after Shabbos Nachum. I think it was Parshas Ekev or Re'eh. So the Navi says, "Gam Ela Tishkachna Va'anochi Lo Eshkachech." The Gemara in Bracha says, "The Ribono Shel Olam, there are certain things that he remembers, and there are certain things that he forgets." So Shechter said to us, he said that in marriage, there are some times that you need to remember things, and some things that you need to forget. So the Gemara is saying that in the context of our relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, that when we do certain things, I'm sure you have this with your couples, you know, we do certain things, he remembers them. And then when we do other things, he forgets them. But that's a decision. You know, when we look at other people, we're going to have to make that decision. Well, how do we define them? What do we remember from them? Gam Eila Tishkachna, are we remembering the slight? Or are we remembering the positive component of him? You know, the concept of selective memory, it's very important. It can be used constructively to think about how we want to define our relationships with people. But I guess it is a decision. It's not just something that happens. We need to make that decision. I think the more people who consciously make that decision, so then we can create more, obviously, so. Any concluding comment?
Thank you for your time. Thanks for inviting us here. I really enjoyed it.
That's it?
I love you. I love you, man. I love you all.
That's easy. Okay, shkoyach.
I'll just add one more thing. Rabbi Brand's making a very good point. And I remember we lived in Milwaukee for many years, and many of you know Rabbi Michal Tversky and his illustrious brothers, Rabbi Abraham, Dr. Abraham Tversky, and his other illustrious brother, whose name I can't remember.
Aaron Baron,
right. He was the dean of Hofstra Law School. And there were two others that are no longer there. Amazing, amazing. Five incredible children who excelled in their fields in the most remarkable ways, you know, that a person can excel. And I was talking to Rabbi Tversky once, and somebody asked him, "What did your parents do to merit having such amazing kids? What was the secret to their parenting technique?" So he said, "Both of my parents were blind in one eye." I said, "What are you talking about? That doesn't, I know they weren't blind." He said, "They were blind in one eye. They could only see the good in us. They didn't have the ability to see the bad. They were blind in one eye." And he said, that's why it says, when a person, we talk about the midah of ayin tova, it says ayin tova, one eye. Because a person basically, to succeed in having an ayin tova, you have to be blind in one eye. You have to learn how to turn a blind eye to a person, what a person is, you know, we all have our stuff. We all have our faults in areas that we're not great in. And it's so easy for us, and for some reason, and you know, maybe Martyr, he's a psychologist, he can explain this to me, I don't know why, but for some reason, we just have this tendency to want to maybe because of what Rabban was saying, because it makes us feel better about ourselves, to want to focus on that bad part of a person. And if we do that, it's going to destroy our marriages. We're not going to be good parents, and we're never going to be able to get over this stumbling block, this challenge that we have of Avos Yisrael. So we have to have an Ayin Tova. That's the difference between Avram and Bilam. And Avram has an Ayin Tova, and that's what we have to focus on. We have to look for the good, find something amazing about another Yid, and let that be your takeaway of who that person is, and draw conclusions about their community in a positive way also based on those midos or those nice qualities that person has and their rabbis and everything and say, wow, you know, what an amazing people we are. We have to focus on that and remember that and always keep that in mind. And if we do that, we'll be able to, God willing, Rav Kook says that it's a sinas chinam that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and it's a havas chinam that's going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So we have to learn how to do that, so next year we won't be sitting here, we'll be sitting in Yerushalayim, God willing.
That's right. I think a lot of it, and maybe we'll close with this, a lot of it really comes back to those glasses, the positivity, the Avas Chinam glasses. They come back to the old dichotomy between being physical and being spiritual. That if we define ourselves on a physical level, now this is a little more ethereal, but if you define ourselves as physical beings at our core, like who we are, so then there are so many differences. The differences are multitude. Just look around this room, how different the people are in this room in terms of where people were born, how they look, how old, you know, so many differences. But if we define ourselves as neshamas, so then all of a sudden those differences disappear. That's what the Balatanya, the Alter Rebbe, writes in the 32nd chapter of the Tanya, so it's probably not coincidental that it's in the Lev, Lamed Beis, Perek Lamed Beis, the easiest place to remember. In the Lev HaTanya, he writes that really everything is the Ribbono Shel Olam, that godlessness is endless light, right? It's Or Ein Sof. Hashem is one giant neshama, kivyachol. And each one of us has a little spark of that one soul. So he says, imagine we're really one soul. Everyone here is just little pieces of a soul in separate bodies. So if we were to define ourselves as souls and we took away the outside, we'd see we're actually all one. It all comes from when you say Hashem Echad, the unity of God, and if the soul, the spark of that soul, is part of that unity, then we really are one. We're neshama achas begufim mechulakim, just different bodies. So if we can define our world with spiritual terms, we'll have an easier time coming together. If we define our terms physically, then it's like, well, you wear that color shirt and I wear this color shirt and you have that look and I have this look because you're defining it physically. But if you define it with spiritual terms, using the glasses of Avas Chinam, but specifically because you define ourselves as neshamas, then you break down all the external barriers because we're all just one gigantic neshama. It's like one. Even on a physical level, in a certain sense, you can give them a mashal, like the Vayikra Rabba has, is we're like one organism. So when the Talmud Yerushalmi tells the story that imagine you're cutting the challah Friday night, and your right hand, which is holding the challah knife, accidentally cuts the left hand, which is holding the challah. So the Yerushalmi says, would you ever think that your left hand should then slap your right hand, because how could you cut me? It's the same being. So the Yerushalmi says that's what Avas Yisrael is all about, is realizing that we really all are one being. And it's easier to do that when we look at ourselves as spiritual beings. So hopefully this morning, and we thank you all for coming, this terrific group, each and every one of you, we thank you for being a part of this. We thank you for being a part of our enterprise, which is to create a greater Kiddush Hashem, more Avas Yisrael, and hopefully the Beis HaMikdash will come, and we won't need to do our Tisha B'Av program. But if we do, everybody is welcome to participate, and we look forward to a wonderful summer together. Thank you so much. Really, it's terrific taking the time, and thank you for coming.